and thank you for listening to Weekend Warriors Hockey, the official podcast of the Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy. And welcome to episode 2 of season 2 here on Weekend Warriors Hockey. Please remember, if you do have any show topic ideas or any feedback, email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. That's info@weekendwarriorshockey.com. I'm Austin, and joining me as always is Weekend Warriors Adult Hockey Academy founder and chief executive warrior, Rick Parisi. Today, we also have a first-time guest coach, Nate Handrahan. And Rick and Nate, how are you guys doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks, Austin.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Since Nate, your first time joining us, and some listeners may not know your background, you want to give a quick couple minute intro into your hockey journey and maybe how you're associated, how long you've been associated with Weekend Warriors Hockey Academy.
Whoa. I appreciate you guys having me on the podcast. I've been fortunate to be working with Rick for quite a number of years. I'm currently the head coach and general manager of the Columbus Mavericks junior hockey team that play in the USPHL Premier. Coached at the high school level in Ohio here. I've coached at the NCAA Division I level with women's hockey, NCAA Division I level with men's hockey. Played professionally for a cup of coffee, played D1 college hockey, played junior hockey, played. So I feel like I've been through the gamut of hockey. And, coming to Weekend Warriors, you know, this is a great example of how small the hockey community is. And my a friend of mine reached out to me that Rick had been looking for a coach. I think it was a Buffalo camp, if I'm remember correctly. And got connected with Rick and really, really enjoyed the opportunity to coach the adult player. And the rest was history. Had a little hiatus for a little bit of time and excited to be back with Rick last season for a camp, and hopefully for us quite a few this year.
Yeah, I think it was back in like 2006 or 2007 was the first camp you did. So it's been like 15 years. So
yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. We're getting old.
You are. I'm not.
an excellent resume to help us get into, since you've coached at all those different levels. And you do have experience with adults, meaning those who didn't grow up playing hockey necessarily. And what I was thinking about trying to do, again, tying into beginning of the season, beginning of the camps, how does a camper try and get ready if they haven't been before, or even if they have, on some things to think about before you go? There's enough things to think about while you're playing hockey. If you can reduce the number of those things and make some of them a little more fundamental and foundational, then maybe you can continue to get better quicker. So I was perusing the USA Hockey website, and I found an interesting article that said the need for speed, adult hockey skating skills. And it's always something I'm looking forward for personally, is how do I become a better skater? So again, I thought it would be a kind of a good intro episode and a topic to talk about a couple of things they had in the article with fundamental skating concepts. One being body position that will allow you to maximize your balance, your power, and your edge control. And then the second is stride mechanics. So you can maximize your stride length and your strength. Obviously, there's more things that go into skating skills, but those are kind of the two that I wanted to maybe talk about today. So body position and stride mechanics. So I think we all would agree. I know it works for me. The better I have become at skating, the more fun I have playing hockey. The more time I'm able to work on shooting, passing, all the other stuff, positional play, rather than thinking about, okay, get lower, do this, do that. So I just kind of want to throw that out there, and maybe kind of Nate, get your thoughts. Rick, obviously jump in anytime, but why is body position so important? And then what do both of you look for when you're coaching, especially adults?
Well, I think coaching an adult player is very different than coaching a youth player or a beginner, but I think you're dead on that. From a skating perspective, it allows you to do so much more in the game as your skating skills improve. If you think about the very first time you were on the ice, whether you were a 6-year-old or whether you're a 40-year-old, the first time you got on the ice, the idea of a puck and its concept was really, really challenging and daunting. How am I supposed to get down the ice, stick handle this thing? Well, people are chasing me with a weapon in their hand, and guys on my team are yelling at me to do something that you know, they think I should be able to do. And it all boils down to that skating stride. The components that go into teaching an adult player, for adult players to grow and develop, are the acknowledgement, one, that we're on a different surface than we ever have been, right? When you play soccer, if you wanted to go out and play soccer or slow pitch or basketball, being in running shoes is not a foreign concept, right? Yeah. You can run up and down the field to kind of a human instinct to be able to run away from a saber-toothed tiger from the time back in caveman days. You know how to run.
Right.
When you put yourself onto a surface where you have a tiny razor blade attached to the bottom of your boot, it changes the game completely. And then all of the, again, noted complexities of playing the game also become a lot more difficult. The body positioning part, I think, starts with an understanding of what it is that your edges do and how your skates are built to work. And then from there, I think there's also an acknowledgement, certainly when I go into teaching, is that there's a fear element, right? When you have little kids on the ice, they don't care about getting hurt and falling down, and they're falling maybe 2 feet, right? If we have 30 pounds, 40 pounds, 50 pounds, an adult player, you know, we're not all in the best shape. So we may carry a few more LBs than we need to. And that's why we're out there in addition, is to get some exercise. But if you fall, there's a real component of getting hurt. That is, there's a fear there. And then the other part is, I got to go to work, tomorrow or on Monday, or so I can't afford necessarily to be down with a blown knee or something because I fell at hockey and get ridiculed by my significant other because why are you playing that stupid sport and you're out till 1 a.m. and drinking beer with your guys and now you got hurt. So I think there's lots of reasons why skating is a focus for us on that Thursday, to try and get an evaluation of how players are going to be, where we could take the camp, but also to really zero in on what the nuances are for the players, to help them understand, their edges in a little bit deeper way. They can start to feel some things that are really impactful in creating that balance and confidence on their skates. And then continue to take those steps forward throughout the weekend.
Yeah, I think, some players come to camp wanting to work on their skating, and some of them come thinking they know how to skate and they're just want to get to the hockey stuff.
Yeah, and that's what I truly thought I knew how to skate.
Yeah, and then they go through that Thursday night and maybe Friday morning session, and they're like, wow, there really is a lot of stuff I don't know or that I'm not doing very well, and what a difference it makes.
Yeah. Hey, Nate, well, I did want to, kind of some anecdotal things that I recognize about myself as I've started to think more about it. And why I think the drills and kind of working on those fundamentals, whether it's just the basic pushes and the basic stride, striding out and recovering and edge work and all that kind of stuff, it obviously focuses very specifically on a specific outcome that you want to get. And I noticed quite a few players who, when they don't actually have the opportunity, or they haven't created it for themselves to work on these things, so they try and get better through pickups. And we've hit on this a couple of times. But would you say that even with across everything you've coached, that during pickups or games, you always tend to go to whatever your strengths are and not work on those things that are your weaknesses? And that's where these kind of things, where Thursday nights at camp help, where doing drills like this is what will make you a better skater. Is that kind of something you run into or you see?
Yeah, I agree with you. The Thursday night session is a precursor to everything else we do through the weekend. But I think when you are talking and thinking about the people that attend Weekend Warrior camps, they play so many games and you're trying to do a lot of other things that are inside the game that really that targeted development can't happen. You need a substantial amount of repetitive movement to be able to root in some of the good habits you're trying to create, but also to undo some of maybe the bad habits.
Yep.
I think in general, when we're talking about, you're talking about stride length, you're talking about knee bend, you're talking about body positioning, when players don't have the necessary one, flexibility, two, strength to be able to do that over and over and over again, then to put them inside of a game and say, hey, we want you to concentrate on this. I think it's a little bit it's a misstep that you're going to get that development. Where in Columbus here, where I teach a lot of lessons with, they try and keep their stick and pucks pretty rigid so that there's not games being played. So it can be development opportunities for players to get on the ice. But the nature of how Weekend Warriors runs their camp from a Thursday to Sunday, the amount of reps that a player gets is truly impactful over the course of a weekend. Watching somebody transform their confidence to go from, you know, really unbalanced and wobbly on a Thursday to feeling a lot better about how they move around the ice, and then to watch some of the scrimmaging happen, you know, is really great to see. And you're just not going to undo habits or miraculously come up with this strength or flexibility, especially a lot of our folks that have come to the sport, maybe have injuries of some kind or something that has been nagging at them that, you know, they have to do the best that they can. And I think that, that's what offers or what creates such a great dynamic.
Yeah. And I truly believe that adults come to play hockey because they enjoy the whole aspect of it, the camaraderie. To me, the challenge is a huge part of being able to play, and then to work my way to play with better and better players and be better and better as I'm playing with them. So I don't think you spend this much money to play this sport as an adult when you have kids and all of the other things going on in your life. Just because you're like, it's something to do. I think truly adult hockey players want to get better. Sometimes they don't have the time or haven't figured out they need to make the time yet. But and to me, these things are what goes into being able to reach those goals of being better, being able to play with better players and having more fun. Quite honestly, it's way more fun when you can do the stuff you want to do on the ice than if you're like, maybe next time I'll be able to, you know, make that turn or what have you. So, okay. I think that's, really good opening for kind of the body position piece and things like that. So maybe a little more into stride mechanics and what you mentioned, having to break some of the habits, some of the natural things that as a, you know, 30 or 20 or 40 year old who's never skated before, being bent the way you need to bend at the hips and the knees, that's not a natural stance. And obviously you have to change that from forward to backward skating a little bit on how you do that. Can you talk a little bit about how kind of the body position rolls into the stride mechanics and what you're looking for again for adult hockey players?
Well, I'm going to talk about a couple of things first on ice, and then secondly, some things that players can do off ice to be able to supplement the time that they can't be on the ice to practice. So firstly, awesome. You know, when you're talking about evaluating a player and looking at where they're at, when you get a side shot of an athlete skating down the ice, you really want to see their knee on their glide leg over top of their toe and their head and shoulders kind of over top of their knee. And that gives you kind of that idea of where they fit. The top leading edge of their thigh, in a ideal world at the very highest levels in the NHL, we're looking for parallel to the ice. Most of the hockey players that we see are somewhere in that 20 to 45 degree bend from their knee to to their hip. And if they can get to that, I mean, if you're just trying to improve a little bit, the general thought that I give players is, if you think you're low, go a little bit lower.
I was just going to ask that. Have you ever had to tell a player you're too low?
No.
Or do you do it very often?
No.
Yeah. Never. You know, yeah. It's been 18 seasons. It's never happened. So
am I low enough now? No, you're not. Peter Bondra, I don't know if you remember that name. He was played for the Washington Capitals, yeah, sure with did. A great scorer, but his goal when he would practice skating was to have his head level with the top ridge of the boards, which is insane. Like, if you think about that, that's nuts. And you know, if you just watch NHL players skate, they are in a power position almost 100% of the time. And you know, they don't, you mentioned Crosby in your intro. you know, he's Quadzilla for a reason, you know, like they are in that position constantly. And there are some anomalies out there where players have, you know, twig leg legs, but they still have that ability to be low. The extension piece is a big deal. Like when players are extending, I think a lot of players extend fully. But the reality is that if their glide leg isn't bent, that's where the problem exists. You can skate around like you're on public skating or Friday night meltdown skating, holding hands with your, you know, whatever, skating around. But if you're playing hockey, you need to be much, much lower.
Yeah. A lot of this is really a physics equation.
It really is.
It's angles, it's force, it's, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was watching a video. I don't think I got it from Rob or any of the guys at the camps, but where you stand up straight and you see how far you can push your leg out. And then you start going down lower and lower, lower on one leg, and you see how far you can go out and then how, you know, come back to the center. And, you know, obviously the lower you go, the further out you can push that leg. That's all stride length, and that's what creates power. So, you know, I guess for anybody out there who's listening who's never thought about that, try that. Just stand up and work on, like you mentioned, on your extending your legs from you know, at that angle back that you would in skating, and see how much better you're going to be, how much longer your stride length's going to be if you just keep bending. And I tell myself every time I'm out there, get lower, get lower, get lower. I had some friends who are like, am I low enough? I'm same as you guys. I'm like, I doubt it. I don't know. I'm not a coach, but I imagine you can get lower. So
one easy measurement that you can do, there's two of them actually. The first one would be, if you have a little bit of time, is to face the boards on the bench side where there's no glass and get your toes flush against the board straight ahead and your knee flush against the boards, and use your hands to hang on to the boards without a stick, and then start to sink into that glide leg and see how far back you can extend. The other way to do it and test that is you can just drop down on one knee and then almost like you're doing a stretch where you see where that extension comes. The last piece of that puzzle is your ankle, is being able to get that little bit of a push and pop out of your ankle that some players forget. They just kind of push and they don't get that extra little pop where you hear the crunch of the ice, you hear the snap that gets you moving down the ice and gets a little bit more of that energy moving in a good direction.
And that takes time to learn. You have to really focus. I mean, some people probably do it naturally. I know I didn't. I didn't really know about it till camp, to be honest. And I had to focus on that just through those drills, just the stride drill and going, all right, snap your, you know, throw your toe out there, snap that ankle.
I think it's important for players to not go too fast so they can feel when they do it well, because it's very noticeable when you do it right. And you can self-teach on your own to, once you feel it, you're like, okay, I got to get back to that again, get back to that again. And then all of a sudden, when it's not that way, you recognize it also.
Yeah. But that's part of the Thursday night session, is doing it slow, full recovery, full stride extension, full toe extension, and then back. It's not about speed, like you mentioned. It's about creating that, you know, that notion in your brain that says, okay, well, here's how you do it. And then the coaches are there to kind of make sure you've done it right. And then to tell you always get lower. So
everything you try to learn, it's, you know, learn it slowly. Don't try to do it fast, right? I'm learning guitar, and everything I learn, you know, they tell you, learn it slow.
Yeah.
Slower than you think, really slow, figure it out. And then once it becomes, you know, the muscle memory thing, and then you got it, you can gradually pick up the speed on it. So
but it is real easy when you're on the ice for stick and puck or whatever you want to call it, just to skate around and shoot. So you definitely have to have the discipline.
Bar down.
Just like it is with a guitar, you find one power chord and you just, you know, chug away on it.
Right.
And it might sound really cool, but you're not getting any better. So, okay. So one of the last things, then I'll let you guys have open, you know, open forum to talk about anything you wanted, that I see happens a lot, happens to me in very specific instances that I know when I'm playing, is the importance of keeping your feet moving when you're playing. And I hear it a lot of times on broadcast in the NHL. They're like, guy got the penalty because he stopped skating. They started reaching, they started doing whatever it was. I do it all the time when the puck is about to get to me or when I'm about to get to a player, I just stop skating for some reason instead of going through and continuing to skate and doing whatever I need to do. Is that something you see, Nate? And then, you know, I mean, is that an important factor from your perspective as an adult hockey player?
Well, if you're assessing and evaluating effectiveness of a player in the middle of a game, and we're going to automatically assume that the majority of players at most levels, I'm going to exclude like A level, maybe some high B level hockey, are going to have some deficiency from a skating perspective somehow, some way.
Right.
So moving when you don't have the puck is so critical. Whether it is a secondary area of the ice or you're immediately impacting the play, moving your feet is, you know, is priority. And you get stuck watching, you know, when I coach my guys, we call it, you know, you got stuck puck watching here and they made plays around you. That's not very fun to play in when you're just, you know, you're kind of spinning like a top and they're like, what the hell's happening here? I got to get moving here. And I think that the more proactive players can be to keep their feet moving into good spots of the ice where one, they can support defensively, or two, they can support on a, in an offensive way or put themselves in a position to get the puck. Those are critical. And you know, I think when, as players evolve their skating skills, they've been so accustomed to being like, well, I could never get there before. So there's these habits that get rooted in. Then you're like, well, now you can. So get to the spot and have an impact.
Yeah. Like I said, I find myself the pass is just out of my reach. But then when I think about it, it's like, well, it's because you stopped skating. You went into a glide when you really needed to just take two or three more strides and you would have caught the pass, or you would have broken up the play or been able to lift the stick on the back check if you just kept skating. And it kills me that I do it. And I'm just wondering if that was one of those things that you do see happen, and apparently it does at every level.
It does.
People get into that glide, and like you said, sometimes it's a mental thing, like, well, I'm just not going to get there, or I've never gotten there. Now, all of a sudden, you have the ability to get there. You're just not doing it. So,
have you ever seen the player that, you know, back checks and looks like they're dog tired and refuses to change, and the guys on the bench are yelling at them? And then as soon as the puck turns over and goes in the other direction, there's like they drank 17 Red Bulls and they have all kinds of energy and they're flying down the ice in the other direction. It's an effort decision too.
Yeah, you must have lots of film of me because that's what I do. Well, that kind of covered the topics I wanted to hit, but you know, I'll give you an opportunity, Nate, and then Rick, of course, for if there's anything else you wanted to throw out there. You know, again, thinking maybe in mind of that Thursday night, those fundamentals that you guys go through, whether you're a coming to camp again this year or you went last year or it was 5 years ago that you went and you're a listener.
I wanted to add to some of the skating stuff, some of the things that players can do off the ice to be able to help their stride and their strength as well as their flexibility. Ice isn't readily available for everyone all the time, and it's expensive. If you're getting out there in addition to your leagues, get yourself a slide board, whether it's in its modest way or, you know, invest in something very good. You can't cheat on a slide board. And then if you want to add in your stick handling ability, you want to add in some passing, you can do that. But if we have folks that are out there that they're trying to get some instruction or they're trying to get better in that regard, the slide board is the best tool. You know, you can do it essentially anywhere and not rely on the ice. The other thing too is, as we get older, our flexibility gets worse and worse. So the days of guys coming out and throwing their foot up on the boards, I know Rob has mentioned it before, where you're stone cold, you haven't done any warm-ups, you go out and you throw your leg up on the boards and you're like, other than the, hey, look at me, I'm stretching.
It's the magical stretch, yeah, stretch all to get you ready.
Yeah, the groin and hips are going to be great. I don't understand. You know, take some time to get a little bit of a lather going before the game, before you start stretching. And then on your own, another mix in some stretching and maybe yoga or something else that's going to help. One, it'll help you improve your skating. Two, it'll keep you healthier when you're on the ice so that you don't have those nagging things that can pull you away. Guys, I pulled my groin, I tweaked my knee, I did this, my back is killing me. All of those things can be helped through using some kind of a stretch routine in your own way, or like I said, a class or whatever. So
those things you can do off the ice, even if they only take 3 to 5 minutes a day, do pay benefits. I need to get a slide board, so that's on my list.
You can build them if you're handy.
Okay, maybe.
For anyone out there, you don't have to, yeah. You don't have to go and buy them. You can build one.
Right. Yeah. So Rick, what do you got?
You know, just just wanted to, you know, maybe reinforce, you know, kind of what we were talking about there with the warm-up stuff, you know, and the ice time being valuable. You know, I mean, it's great if you can get out to a stick and puck where there's no pressure and you can just practice these things. But usually you have like, what, 3 to 5 minutes before a game. And, you know, rather than using that time to throw your foot up on the boards or to, you know, practice your slap shot against the glass, you know, think about what it is you want to work on and get your warm up done before you get on the ice. Right. So you can, you know, you can run right before you get your skates on and get yourself whatever, do a little warm up routine, get yourself stretched out, all that stuff. And then when you get on the ice, now you can start practicing, you know, maybe your skating or your stick handling or some, you know, something that is to help you improve it. If you don't have the opportunity to get out to a stick and puck.
Yeah. I had a friend who'd go on a 20-minute run before the game. That was the only way he felt warmed up. He figured out that I can't do in 3 minutes. I'm not ready to go till like the middle of the second period. So he got out for a run. And this is somebody who's in his 50s. So it's not like a 20-year-old. So, and he'd go run and he'd feel good, come back in, get dressed, and he was ready to play. He was warmed up. So,
yeah. I can't say I practice what I preach. I've been caught. I've been caught stretching between the second and third periods, and my teammates looking at me. I'm like, the older you get, the longer it takes to get warmed up.
Yeah, I just don't try as much.
Right, Rick, do you want to throw anything out there with upcoming camps? I know you got to be close.
Yeah, we're you know, getting ready to start the season, chomping at the bit here. So we got. April 15th is our first camp in Pittsburgh. Very excited about that one. And then 2 weeks later, we're in Atlanta, where you're going to be, Austin.
I am. So, yeah, thanks for having me up there. I'm excited. I really can't tell you how excited I am. I love coming to these camps. So
yeah, and then we go to Lake Tahoe after that. So yeah, you're bringing a friend. That's awesome. So yeah, really excited to, you know, kick off the season. And get out there and, you know, start, having some fun.
Yeah. Excellent. Nate, any parting thoughts, anything you want to throw out there? Anything anybody should know about you? Any teams that the people should tune in and watch that you're coaching?
Right now we're in off season mode and, I'm, you know, we have some camps and clinics that get running as well for defensemen, but outside of that, Columbus Mavericks, that'll be back into the fall when we get cranking again. Awesome. National championships just wrapped up and my good buddy, their teams won it. So I can't be too upset, but
right.
Well, they could probably take the Sabres at this point. So
yeah. Yikes. Yikes. All right. I'll leave that one alone. So, okay. Well, again, thanks Coach Nate for joining us. We definitely appreciate, I know Rick and I appreciate you hopping in and joining us on this. Because you're way more of an expert on this. I just have the questions. I needed somebody that could answer them for me. Rick probably could do it as well, but I know we're both grateful that you were available to do this. And thanks again, Rick, for joining me today. And thanks to all the listeners for checking us out here at Weekend Warriors Hockey. We do hope you enjoyed this episode and that you are looking forward to learning more about how you can improve as a hockey player. Once again, if you have any topics, questions or ideas for us, go ahead and email us at info@weekendwarriorshockey. You can also go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, if that's easier, and leave us information there. And if you could, please share this with a friend. If you have a friend that's a hockey player who might be able to, this might be useful for, please share. And you can go ahead and leave a 5-star Apple Podcast review if you like. And until next time, please keep working hard and improving each time you're out on the ice.